It is the 5 o'clock happy hour on Hockman and Crowder.
Funky Buddha's good.
Presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. 5 o'clock hour. We were at the BB&T Center yesterday. We enjoyed some of that Funky Buddha Brewery brew after our broadcast, because that's when they open up that tap room downstairs.
And that, gloves off, the hop guns there. They had the no crust, the peanut butter and jelly brownie. They had all of them down there, and I love it. You know what? Can I name drop Funky Buddha? Because I do it, and I feel kind of lame. Like, when I order at places, and they're like...
When you're ordering, like, at Funky Buddha Tap Room at BB&T,
No,
or...
I did it last night on South Beach. I was like, you have Hop Gun, and they had it. And I was just like, oh, I drink Funky Buddha, too. And then I was like, well... I know the owners. Like,
Did you drop that?
I did. I felt like I was trying
to
one up
them.
They're
nice guys, so it's probably not the worst thing in the world. Like that. I think that's kind of cool.
But isn't that the one-up guy, though? Didn't I become the one-up guy? Oh, you drink a beer? I drink the beer, too.
I know the owner.
That's like you can't go any further than
that.
There's
a Saturday Night Live character that does that, that one-ups everything.
I was him. Yeah, I was lame. Never mind.
What's the big event coming up at Funky Buddha Brewery in Oakland Park?
The Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival. The Maple Bacon Coffee Porter is delicious beer. It won so many damn awards. They named the festival after it, but you go out there. Funky Buddha has 100 different beers that they make, and then there's microbreweries from around South Florida. The Maple Bacon Coffee Porter, FunkyBuddhaBrewery.com, and it's January 12th. I will be there. I'm going to be the first one in line. Come holler at me.
By the way, in the last segment I mentioned, and we played a little bit of that Tito Jackson banger, we got a text on the text machine from Louis D., the producer of the Power 96 morning show, DJ Zog.
Yep.
He says, no need to ask. Tito Jackson definitely receives zero rotation.
No rotation to him, man.
On Power 96. I asked him if he wanted us to email him the track.
Can he fit it in his arms? Can
he
feel it in his feet?
He does not want to feel it on his email.
Well, we'll go over his head. Go to Miho.
We'll go right to Miho.
Don't waste that man's time. That song is garbage.
We'll get it in rotation. Is Rondé Gadsden on the line?
I don't know. Is it line 10 blinking? Bro, you really want to go there? You want to know what you said earlier?
I believe just moments ago you said Funko.
Is the time of beeping?
Crowder, what's this?
Caterpillars make love on sticks.
Caterpillars.
There's a lot of love.
This is the funniest thing.
Big ass caterpillars. Caterpillars.
Listen to how quickly Falero and I pounce on the word caterpillars. Like we are jackals on a carcass here.
Caterpillars make love on sticks.
Caterpillar.
There's a lot of love. A caterpillar.
Just like caterpillars. What?
Haters. That's
Rondé Gadsden's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. What's up, OG?
What's happening, Funky Buddha?
Yeah, I know you name drop when you're out, man.
Every time. Anything with bacon on it, I'm dropping.
Yeah, bacon fan, OG.
Who's not?
Who's not?
Hey, let me ask you a question. As long as we got Dolphins and Patriots on Sunday, and you'll hear it on this radio station, and Dolphins always play the Patriots tough at home. That's kind of a little narrative here. But let me go further on the Dolphins. We talk with you every week about Ryan Tannehill and the receivers and whatnot, and you study, obviously, quarterback play because that's a main component of when you were a receiver. Could you ever win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill carrying the load? Like, I understand that if you put great pieces around any decent quarterback, you could win a Super Bowl. They did it with Trent Dilfer. Tampa did it with Brad Johnson. But if the quarterback has to carry the load, could Ryan Tannehill ever be that guy?
You know, that's hard to say. I mean, I want to say yes, but it's hard to say. It's easier to say no than yes, you know what I'm saying? Because he's not in that upper tier of quarterbacks. But, I mean, you know, you see those guys, Trent Dilfer and Johnson, and, I mean, Eli did it. I mean, if you have the right components on, defense wins the championship. This, you know, I'm an offensive guy, but I know the real story. So, I mean, if he had the right components around him, a good defense – and I think he has to be comfortable with the offense. I just don't think he's comfortable making the plays we need to make. Like I said, like It's 3rd and 6. We just need the first down. I know the play is supposed to go to whoever. But if you see that lane, man, get us those 6 yards so we can move the chains. You know, you have to understand that. And when you see, you know, a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers struggle, why not Tannehill?
And OG, with all the weapons Tannehill has, because Jakeem Grant's IR, Albert Wilson's IR, we know, you know, Devontae's always hurt, but then they bring in like a Bryce Butler. They you know, promoted Isaiah Ford and them young guys. OG, how hard is it to really, as a new receiver, to really learn a playbook, the ins and the outs? I know run a 9 route or, you know, run an in at 10 yards, right, but to really understand what the scheme is offense, what you're trying to do, where everybody is, how long does that take a receiver?
I mean, it takes, I guess, an off season in April through June, and then a full training camp to know what you really have to do, because there's nuances that the quarterbacks like and that you like. You know, like I said, you know, all the time, you know, a comeback for us is, you know, run through 17, come back to 15. I mean, you know, listen, sometimes I may not make it to 17, so I'm going to make it to 12 and a half, you know, and come out. So, you know, your quarterback has to know that. Like I alluded to earlier, I mean, some quarterbacks like the back shoulder throw instead of a fade route. I like the jump ball fade route. And, you know, if you're not throwing that the way I like it, then, you know, we got an issue. Oh, and, you know, and when I play it, if you're not catching it the way Dan's throwing it, then you out.
Aronde Gadsden is with us. But do you think the Dolphins have a chance on Sunday against the Patriots? They're 6-6, but the Patriots blew them out earlier in the season. Well, what would make you say that?
Well, because most of the time we split, and now we're playing at home. And things just happen when you know a team and you play a team all the time. I mean, it's not much more that they're going to do. You know, they're going to do the same things they've been doing. You know, half of the game is played mentally, you know. It's Tom Brady, and we know it, you know, and you gear up for those games, and you see a player like Cam Wake come alive, may have 2-3 sacks. You see, you know, Jones or somebody get a pick, and you know, that jumps up the offense and the team, make a long field goal. Things like that happen against the Patriots, where sometimes in other teams, like the Colts, it may not happen, you know. And so you're always ready for those games, and, you know, this is one of them where we usually, more times than not, get a split. So we're playing at home. So, listen, I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to keep it close, and if something happens, we can win the game. I don't think it'll be a blowout like the first one.
Well, let's say the Dolphins win, and then they're 7-6 coming off, you know, yeah, a couple of victories. Do you have to totally kind of reassess what you would think this Dolphins team is? Like, if they're able to beat New England Sunday, and I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, obviously they can, and they do have a history of playing New England well down here in South Florida. But if they win and they're 7-6 and they're legitimately in the hunt, then what is this team? Like, are they better than a lot of people think?
Yeah. I mean, they overachieve because they're doing it with, you know, some of the weapons that, you know, got them halfway here not playing. I mean, Albert Wilson was coming on to be, you know, a very exciting player for us. And then he went down, and the next guy was Grant, and he went down. So, I mean, we're going to have to find, you know, different ways to win the game. I mean, nobody envisioned really Frank Gore, who's the ageless wonder, taking on this much of a load, you know. But he is, and he's doing, a nice job. We got a nice mix, you know. And so, you know, especially with, you know, Osweiler taking with 3-4 games in the middle. So, you know, it's tough to say, but, you know, that's why you play the game. You don't play them on paper. You play them out there, you know, 1 o'clock on Sundays on grass. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, if they are 7-6, let's try to, you know, win the rest of them and try to get a home field playoff game. That's going to be tough to do, but, you know, going on the road in the divisional playoff game is going to be pretty tough to win that.
And OG, the story last week was Kenny Stills. He kind of came out and, you know, took it back a little bit, but he was saying, I can't throw myself the ball. And before the Buffalo game, Indy, Green Bay, New York Jets, and Detroit, he had 5 catches in total. And last week, 4 receptions, 6 targets. Does complaining, when you were playing until this day, does complaining at receiver work? Because it seemed like it did for Kenny Stills.
You know, if you consider yourself the number one guy, it works, you know, from time to time. Obviously, when you don't have a quarterback like I had, it works for sure. But when you got a quarterback and y'all on the same level and you understanding what's going on, then you know I think you know. Kenny still knows if he doesn't get the ball, who will they throw it to? He's been there the whole time. These guys went down. He feels he can make a difference in the game, and he did because I was at the game, and that throw that he caught in the end zone, I thought it was an ill-advised throw in the double coverage, but he caught it. So if he can make plays like that and still do his deep threat down the field thing, I don't see why not giving the ball if he's coming up with the plays needed to help us win the game, and that's the bottom line. If he can help us win, let's get him the ball. If nobody else is stepping up. I'm not for him doing all the reverses and the trick plays. But if he's gonna catch the ball down the field and go up strong and make an effort at getting it, I'm all with it.
And how would that have worked out with you and Marino if somebody went up to Marino and said, "Hey Dan, OG said he needs you to throw him the ball more."
Right, that means I get the ball less than the one time I was getting it, right?
To understand your role on the hierarchy, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Like I said, when I played,
you stand in the tunnel.
OJ led the league in catches, and I was on the other side. I was happy to get, the scraps that was left. So if he leading the league in catches, right, so you knew that. They had to throw to him and see he gonna get 16 targets a game. He may come up with 11, right? And so on the other side, I'm waiting. I'm hoping for a tip ball. I'm hoping that they meant to throw to Troy and it goes over his head and I catch it, something like that. It wasn't really a lot of plays, but when we were close to the red zone, there was blitz is coming from the other side. I mean, you kind of force to throw that way. So, I never complained about my 2.3 catches a game, but I just tried to make the best of it. That's the best you can do because I'm an ear on the side of, complaining to a top-tier quarterback doesn't get you the ball. If you look through the annals of time, I think the guys who complain, quarterback was not, the guys in the top tier of quarterbacks. I mean, if you Keyshawn and, I guess Mike complained for the ball sometime, but he got it. He knew the offense was running through Emmett, and he got it. He may be an exception to the rule if you could call what he did complain. I think he was just over exuberant about playing the sport anyway. But I think, the guys who really made a big fuss about it, I don't think they quarterback, who was Keyshawn's quarterback? Richard Todd?
It wasn't Joe Namath.
Only what I was saying about T.O. used to give quarterbacks hell, and he played with some decent ones.
But they got rid of him, right? Because, he would complain about Donovan McNabb, and then they got rid of him.
Yeah. All the quarterbacks, the quarterback going to win out at the end of the day. I hate to say it, but that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, he did it with Jeff Garcia. I mean, come on. Steve Young,
Aronde Gadsden. People are texting in. How come Aronde's not in Orlando at the high school football playoffs? Neither of you guys are coaching. Both you guys came up short. American Heritage and U School not at the state championships this weekend.
The state championship. I think our nemesis, I guess. No, I won't say nemesis. Our rivals, which I don't know if I call them rivals, but. In 5A, I think Cardinal Gibbons is up 34-10, and good job by them. They finally got over that hurdle and ding dong, the witch is dead, so to say. But I think they're gonna win it in our division. I don't know about I don't know about that 1A football crowd is used to playing, but I don't know who wins in this division.
A little shot on the way out.
Coco and Reigns are playing for the championship in our little baby division, as you call it. Oh, Gino, you know I got to end it. This will probably be my last coaching question of the year since we're both knocked out already. OG.
OG, when you
we lose the semifinals by 1 point. We could, you know, if we could,
32-31.
If we could have drove, we had 45 seconds. We have, you know, one timeout left. It was a tough stretch, but it was a good game, OG. And I was into it. We were going. We were exiting and going back and forth. They score, right. We score. We'd adjust our defense. It was a good game. And at the end of the game, all the kids started crying. I wasn't worth a damn because I don't know how to deal with people that are crying. Well, what do you do when the kids start crying?
Well, listen, I can tell you from personal experience. We lost at Gibbons, and my son was crying, and he's a 10th grade receiver, and I told him, you know, they better be crying tears of joy, because next year you up, man. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. You know what I'm saying? You got to go and right or wrong. You know, there's no need to cry. So if you're crying, you know what I'm saying, you're not ready to work and fix that wrong. You need to be like, Dad, tomorrow I want to go on that hill and start running. That's what you need to do, because it's just not something I know we used to at American Heritage. I mean, it totally sucks to be home right now. You know? And so we had to get ready and get to work next year. For those that are staying, for those that are leaving, that's a tough deal. You have to somewhat help them out. Emotionally, I know you're not a big emotional guy, but
when you say Crowder's not a big emotional guy, he's devoid of any human emotion.
Well, I wouldn't say void.
I wouldn't say totally void.
Yep, he is.
Because if he goes to that Funky Buddha Bacon Beer Festival,
he may cry with joy.
And he gets there and doesn't get any. I think he'll show some emotion.
That's a good point.
No, you know what I did do, OG? So I'm glad I kind of dealt with it in my emotionless way. I would say it's okay for a boy to cry. It's okay for a man to cry. But a man is going to learn from him crying, learn from that emotion. A boy is going to do it again. And that's what I would tell him.
I have to tell you, that is pretty profound.
I worked on it.
Usually your stuff is garbage.
Here you go.
When I say
why you
garbage,
gotta give me one little compliment and then come at
garbage.
Me?
Garbage. That is really
way out in left field. Right?
I mean, man. That
you gotta tell them that, especially if you plan to have those kids back next year. Just you know, the whole, you know, remember this feeling, get ready to go for next year. You know, now let's get this cold pizza and get on the bus.
We had sandwiches.
I have to tell you, I am stunned. You came up with that?
Yeah, because I'm deep.
Wow, that was good.
All right,
OG. Have a good weekend, OG.
I might have been on the wall at the Funky Buddha place.
See you, OG.
All right, y'all, bye.
Aronde Gadsden. We'll talk to him next week, I would imagine, as well. Before 6 o'clock, someone will win Rolling Stones tickets on this radio show before 6 o'clock. In the next segment, and I don't normally give you a heads up, but in the next segment, we had Jesse Davis, the offensive lineman, on for the Miami Dolphins in the 2 o'clock hour. I didn't plan on replaying an offensive lineman, like a nice little drive-by in the 2 o'clock hour. He hung up on us. And it's because Crowder annoyed him at the end. Yeah, I think it was.
When you listen, just text in who's the problem here.
All right,
who's me?
Who's the provocateur? Jesse Davis, offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins on this Dolphins Friday. We believe he hung up on us at the end. So you got to listen all the way through and figure out who caused that reaction from Jesse Davis. That's going to be next. Radio.com.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, violent.
Look at you singing along. I know it's Falero's favorite.
It's my jam, Bruno.
So pretty. I'm talking about.
I'm guessing at your wedding, they'll be playing a lot of Bruno Mars.
Maybe all of his albums.
Wow, just put his album on repeat. No band, no DJ.
No shuffle.
I'll listen by that pay bar we're going to have to sit next to.
It's not a pay bar. It's just not going to have liquor.
Valero's getting married in March. No open bar.
No, it's open bar, just wine and beer.
Okay.
No liquor.
Very limited bar.
So I got to give you some money and then bring a pocket full of cash for drinks?
No.
This
if you
is a
want
great
tip. Yeah.
It's a great wedding.
Yeah, you got tip.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Jesse Davis is on the line, their offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins. I will remind you, on behalf of the Dolphins, we are all cancer fighters. In just 8 years, the Dolphins Cancer Challenge has raised $27.5 million for cancer research at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. Join them on April 6th as thousands of people ride, walk, run, or volunteer across South Florida to raise critical funds for cancer research. Registration for this year's event is open right now. You can visit DolphinsCancerChallenge.com. Again, DolphinsCancerChallenge.com. Jesse Davis is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Jesse.
How you doing?
You're the unicorn. You've started all 12 games on the O-line this season. What's your secret?
I don't know.
Because we've had, I don't know, Crowder's mentioned on the air several times, you know, playing with Cam Wake, and Cam's still doing it. But when you played with Cam Wake, you were always amazed at what kind of physical condition he kept himself in, right?
Oh, romaine salad, three meals a day, even partying, even going
water,
out.
Yes. Even when he was with all the fellas, he would not deviate from his
San Pellegrino at the shake spot.
Right.
Who drinks that at the shake spot?
So do you have like a regimen, Jesse, that keeps your body in tip-top shape?
Not really. I just do that kind of the same thing. Drink a little beer on Tuesday and go back to work on Wednesday.
So you have Crowder's regimen, is it?
Oh, no, he just say on Tuesday?
Oh, you had seven days a week.
Yeah. Six nights.
How much of a challenge is it when there's injuries on the O-line? How much of a challenge is it for a quarterback or for the offensive line as a unit to try and get used to new personnel on a seemingly game-by-game basis?
I mean, it definitely has its, you know, disadvantages when you keep rotating guys in there just because, like the communication aspect and then also knowing where – you know, that guy's going to be kind of like his footwork or what footwork you're going to use. So it definitely has its disadvantages, but, I mean, it's how football goes. You know, it's next man up.
And, Jesse, I wanted to ask you about last week because Jordan Phillips made it a big deal to say he's going to come back. And he was, I guess, trying to prove something to Adam Gase. But was he down in – because I wanted to ask you because you're down in the trenches with him. Was he down there going crazy, talking trash, or was he just playing hard? What did it ever get nasty?
No, it never got nasty with me. I don't know. I think it's just kind of playing hard. Kind of got lucky on a couple plays, honestly. It wasn't anything special that he really did. So he wanted to act like it was, but you know, that's just how Jordan Phillips is. So crazy.
That's the best thing about playing guys that you played with. You kind of know their personalities already. And to go 6-6 now, bro, and they always ask me, and I say no, because, you know, I played back in the day. But new age players like yourself, do y'all follow, like, the wild card hunt? Do y'all know the playoff seeding, or do you just really go week to week like everybody preaches?
We're not, like, blind to it. You know, coach will put up the numbers and say, hey, you know, listen, we're not out of this. You know, we kind of determine our own future and, like, put up our schedule, put up everybody else's plan. So we kind of know, you know, where other people have a lot of hard games up, and, you know, so do we, but not as hard as the other people that are, you know, currently ahead of us. So we, you know, we got a good shot at this thing.
Jesse Davis from the Miami Dolphins is with us. So you know, and I know, again, it's one game at a time, and certainly when it's New England on Sunday, that's all your focus is, but you know who you play after them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, we know. Obviously, our focus on the Patriots, but we also know that we got a couple of, you know, some beast games coming up that's gonna, you know, take a lot of focus. But, you know, right now our focus is on, you know, getting this win and then moving on to the next one, see what we can do with this next game.
What is the mood of the team at 6-6? Crowder mentioned you guys are 6-6. What's the mood? Because it's been, I guess, like an up-and-down season. You guys have faced some adversity. You've had some nice runs as well. You've faced a lot of injuries. Like, what's the mood?
The mood currently is just after Indianapolis week, you know, we weren't all like, you know, we're kind of let down, but we weren't, you know, mentally checked out. You know, we went back to work, you know, we got a really hard practice on that Wednesday and, you know, another hard one this Wednesday, you know, just to get our bodies feeling better, but also, you know, keeping the competition up, knowing that we have a good shot of, you know, if things go our way, that we could be in that wild card game.
Are you familiar? There's a growing narrative that Tom Brady doesn't play very well in South Florida, that the Dolphins seem to have the Patriots' number when they come down here. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I've seen it last year especially. But, you know, he doesn't play well in the heat, and hopefully it keeps continuing that streak.
And, Jesse, that it's fun. They make fun of me on the show. My only single career.
We don't make fun
yeah,
of you.
Do.
No,
you
we
do
don't.
It all
we
the time.
Celebrate. Yesterday was the anniversary of Crowder's interception against Tom Brady.
I had an interception against Tom Brady. They make a joke of it. They
we
can
do
go
not.
To Jesse. They can go
you
to
have
hell.
Such a complex.
And you see what happens when I start speaking? He always talks over
because
me. Because
you
no,
say that
because
we make
nasty.
Fun of you. And we don't make fun
because
of you. We celebrate
nasty.
It. I don't, Jesse, I don't understand what's
Jesse,
happening.
Jesse, let
here.
Me get to my question. Please, sir. But that's my ass kicker story. I intercepted Brady, or I tackled LaDainian Tomlinson a bunch. We limited him 1 year when he had those 26 touchdowns, I want to say 2006. What's your story that you tell when, hey, I blocked this guy, I came around the corner on this guy and knocked the hell out of him? What's your ass-kicker story?
I don't know if I have one yet, you know.
Oh, you done played some hella fine. You lined up against a guy, Jesse, and you were like, damn, this is – blank. This is Khalil Mack. This is, you know what I'm saying, Von Miller.
Anywhere.
This is, yeah.
I think the hardest guy and the guy I kind of respect the most on how he plays is Akeem Hicks. That was a long day, but, you know, going against that guy for the Bears. But there's no crazy story of, like, oh, I blocked this guy or anything. Like,
Jesse,
I don't know.
Jesse, I think Jesse's just better than me.
Jesse
so he's,
Davis.
He's expected to do his job.
Were you born, Jesse, to be an offensive lineman? Like, Crowder at a young age, I think, because his dad was in the NFL, yeah. and he had a choice, like, what do you want to play or whatever, and you wanted to be a linebacker. He wanted to take people's heads off,
they,
right?
They asked me, do you want to be the hammer or the nail? I said, I want to be the hammer. I don't want to be getting the one hit, so that's why I chose linebacker.
Were you born, Jesse, to be an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I don't know. I played defensive lineman in college for 3 years, and then I got moved to offensive line, but born to play in the NFL, I think. So,
what's more fun? I'm imagining sacking the quarterback is more fun than protecting the quarterback.
I want to say, honestly, offense is a lot more fun when everything comes together. But defense, you know, you just got to know, you know, a couple of alignment things and know what like your guy next to you is doing. Offense, you got to know everything. You got to know what the quarterback's doing, the running back's doing, what the tight end's going to do. You know, there's a lot to it. So when everything goes right on offense, it's a lot more, you know, a lot more, you like to have a lot more fun doing it because when it works, it works. And it's a beautiful thing.
Jesse, I've battled with a lot of old linemen. I hawk that pancake, when they get to pancake a guy and get to rub their whole belly and crotch all on the guy's back, that feels good to them. Now, am I right, Jesse, now? I've been around, Big Vernon Carey's a good friend of mine. I've been around a lot of old linemen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one where you go. You know, it's going to be a good film session when you have a couple of those.
let me ask you something before we let you go here. Jesse Davis from the Miami Dolphins. Again, you'll hear the game here Sunday on this very radio station. You're an outdoorsman, I believe. When you cook s'mores, right? You've cooked s'mores before at a cookout, camping or whatever, right? What do you put the marshmallow on? You have to put the marshmallow on something in order to hold it in the fire. What do you toast the marshmallow on?
You can use any. I mean, you can use a hot dog roaster to a branch that you pick off the tree, and you sharpen it, whittle it down to a little stick to use it.
Exactly. Everybody uses a stick. My partner here, Crowder.
Or a hanger.
Crowder, now, have you ever packed a hanger to go camping, Jesse?
Not a big, nice wood hanger. One of those metal hangers that you can bend out and stick somewhere
in. Right, it's still a hanger. Do you pack a hanger to go camping, Jesse Davis?
No, I never thought of it, but that's pretty smart by you guys doing that.
No, you guys. It's just Crowder, and it's not smart. It's the coating. The coating on it is poisonous, and metal conducts heat. So now do you want to – let's stick with our original answer, right? A branch or a stick?
Yeah, but when you go camping, do you throw, like, garbage in the fire?
Do I throw garbage in the car? Well, back in my day, you just leave it in the forest.
Oh, here he goes.
Plastic forks or anything you throw in the fire, you're going to cook over that. So, I mean, you're kind of fighting yourself with that one.
So you're saying the next time you go camping, you might bring a hanger and use Crowder's methodology?
I probably won't do that. Just
please, thank you.
But Jesse, my side of the stick would be that there's a lot of birds making love on the stick. There's a lot of caterpillar sex on the stick. There's a lot that goes on sticks
that
we don't know
about. Once
you
put it in the fire, it's fine.
That is where you just whittle it out and then you burn the stick a little bit to,
Seems pretty easy. You know what it really is? God's utensils. God's utensils. And I know.
You're a chimpanzee.
I'm guessing
you know how to eat ants out of the anthill. Now you're going to stick it down in there.
I'm just saying, if you don't want to use God's utensils and you want to use the dry cleaner stuff, you go ahead and use that. I think Jesse just hung up on us.
That's a win in Hawks book.
I think the reception was lost.
I'm hoping he hung up on it.
No, he was having a good time,
God's utensils, I'm out of here. That was Jesse Davis. I remind everybody, we are all cancer fighters. In just 8 years, the Dolphins Cancer Challenge has raised $27.5 million for cancer research at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. Join them April 6th as thousands of people ride, walk, run, or volunteer across South Florida to raise critical funds for cancer research. You can register right now at DolphinsCancerChallenge.com.
He didn't hang up.
He totally hung up.
No.
He's busy. He's got New England on the docket on Sunday. You and I are having an argument over God's utensils.
Wait, did he call back?
No, he's not calling back.
I sent a phone line. He has not called back. He was tired of that nonsense. Radio.com.